take them to the fire station, and they'll take them down south later today. They need tents, sleeping bags, pillows, water, non-perishable foods, masks, gloves, personal hygiene products, extra phone chargers, diapers, and adult Depends. So if you've got something you can take down, take it down. Coming up next is Art Waves with Wendy Butler. Thanks for listening to the KHSU Magazine.
Thank you for keeping your dial clicked, tuned, wound, pushed, pulled to KHSU. It's the 10th of October and the year is still 2017. And I'm Wendy Butler and this is Art Waves. Thirty years ago, in October, Friday, October 23rd, 1987 to be exact, more than 100 photographers spent 24 hours recording the people, places, and events in Humboldt County. Thousands of photographs were created. The best 130 were included in a book. Photographer Mark Larson, while chairman of the journalism department here at Humboldt State University, helped coordinate the project in 1987 with HSU journalism faculty member Wayne Miller. Mark is reviving it, and the format will be similar to the one in 1987, except this time the result will be a photography exhibition. Mark Larson is my guest, along with his wife, Sydney Fisher Larson, who, along with Mark, also submitted photography for the 1987 project. The book is titled The People, Places, and Events of Humboldt County, a 24-hour photo documentary project, and it was published in 1987. And the photographs were taken actually on October 23rd, 1987. All of them. First of all, Mark, how many photographs are in this book?
There's over 100 photographs in the book, though there was probably 300 to 400 submitted, plus another 200 or 300 color slides. But we didn't end up using the color slides.
Right, yeah. All of the photographs are in black and white.
Correct.
But Sydney, I want to move over to yours. What I'm looking at are, who I'm looking at are Kara Keating and Ira Simkovich, both at the time 3 years old. And they were involved with a building project at Stepping Stone Children's Center. So how did this particular photograph come about for you, Sydney?
In 1987, I was the coordinator of child care center programs for what was then Humboldt Child Care Council, is now Changing Tides Family Services. And Stepping Stone was one of the child care programs that we operated at that time. The day of the photo shoot was a working day for me, so I didn't have the liberty to just go off and spend the entire day shooting pictures. So I shot from my perspective of a person at work. But it's important to me to have included in the book the fact that there are children in Humboldt County, in California, in the United States, that spend their days in group care being cared for by wonderful, talented teachers, and I wanted to be able to document that. So these kids just happen to accommodate.
And did you say before we started recording that you thought about reaching out again now to them? Or
yeah, I did try to find them, and it looked as if Ira had graduated high school in Crescent City and Kira in Ukiah, and Ira now in the Bay Area, but it felt a little intrusive for me, having had no contact with them in 30 years, to try to track them down. I think I would have if they still lived in Humboldt County, but since they're no longer in Humboldt County, I just was curious to see what happened to them.
And this was, again, this was the Stepping Stone Children's Center was located in Eureka?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And Mark, you have several photographs in this book, but the one that you brought to special attention to me was the Grave Digger. And so let me read the caption in Arcata. The quote here is, working as a grave digger is better than working at a lumber mill. You don't get laid off as often, said Bill Payton, grave digger at the Greenwood Cemetery. So how did this photograph happen for you?
Well, I started around 6 a.m. at the Arcata Plaza and ended up at 10 p.m. at Arcata Plaza. But between those two points, I was looking for ordinary people doing ordinary jobs and with the camera trying to capture extraordinary photos of those. In this case, what I got was an extraordinary caption. That quote from him is really special, I think. And to me, that's the goal of any photographer, is to capture a story behind it. You can see the photo of him standing in front of his front-end loader digging this brand-new grave, and what's more common than death, except for birth, and I'll get back to birth in a second. But he's standing there talking about what it's like to be a grave digger, and I said, well, why and how did you ever get this job? And he then came up with that great quote about, well, being laid off a lot in the timber industry. The other most common aspect, by the way, was I had my phone numbers left with all the hospitals asking that if you had a baby born this day, please give me a call, and I'd love to come and photograph the baby and the mother, but there weren't any born on that particular day. So maybe this year.
Well, talking about days, 24 hours as part of this concept, and let's go back even further, Wayne Miller, a professor here at Humboldt State University for many years, but not, he didn't begin as such, is what you were saying before we started recording, but you met him when he had been hired to be part of the faculty at Humboldt State University, and you were already the department chair, the journalism department chair.
Yeah, Wayne was one of the active photojournalists in our community here, working at least part-time for the Times Standard at the time in 1985 when I became department chair. And I think I looked at his work as well as his ability to interact with students in a very positive way, and hired him to teach the Photo J classes that I was teaching and had to give up. Along the way, as he continued to teach part-time for us up until his death, he also ended up being editor of the Arcata Union, the Garberville Redwood Record. He was a short-term editor up the Del Norte Triplicate. He had an amazing, diverse career as a reporter and editor, but his one love was photojournalism. And from that came his interest. He came to me one day and said, well, you know those day-in-the-life books about day-in-the-life of in the United States, all those professional photographers? Let's find a day sometime soon and invite a bunch of students and amateur photographers to go out and do for 24 hours what they did on a national level here in Humboldt County. And that's what happened 30 years ago.
Just like that. I mean, I'm sure there was some organizing involved in pulling this together. I mean, what are some of the highlights of getting this project going?
Well, the key difference looking back 30 years ago was we had film. And the next step was Wayne and I went to the local photo stores, and there was more than one back then, and asked for donations of film. We, to get students involved, we actually created a one-unit class And we had 80 or 90 people across campus sign up for it. We then organized the meeting to help train those students and faculty and staff who participated and community members to come up to campus. And we said, well, here's your free film, at least one roll of black and white film. And here's a map of Humboldt County. Would you please sort of self-assign yourself to go into the different quadrants of the county so that we geographically cover a more diverse area? The other thing we had done, of course, was publicize it across the county with posters and stories in the local newspapers so that people would sort of know why there's hundreds of photographers walking around that particular day. One of the other things we can see from 30 years ago is the technology was pretty crude back then. Film was not very light sensitive, and unless you had a tripod, you weren't going to capture much at night. And though there are a few flash photo examples in the book, and people did shoot at night with the tripod as well, but we're hoping this time, because of the new technology, and you know, Sydney's got her iPhone camera that can do amazing work under very low light conditions in her phone. And similarly, our digital SLR cameras, I mean, I can go to 12,000 ISO and photograph practically in the dark, handheld, even without a tripod.
Let's say you're in some kind of a community center, or it could be an office, or it could be somebody's home, and somebody could photograph goings-on in the morning, and then even if it's completely empty, they could photograph at noon, and then and on like that, but in one place, but you see the character of a place change.
30 years ago, I don't remember any examples of photographers who followed throughout the day or the 24 hours, one person, which would make an interesting challenge for this year. One of the things that we've thought about to challenge photographers is to look at the book and to see if they can find someone who's still alive from the book and maybe get them back in the same setting and re-photograph them. It's going to be hard. We've been trying to do research, and there aren't that many people. But I just talked with a young woman who was 6 years old, I think, up in Hoopa, and Phil Zastro, I think, took her photo. And it'd be amazing to go back and find her and to re-photograph her.
Mark Larson. Also here is Sydney Fisher Larson. Mark Larson is a retired HSU Journalism Department chairman, and he's a photographer. And he is reviving, after 30 years, the people, places, and events of Humboldt County, a 24-hour photo documentary project. The key date this time is next Friday, October 20th, when all are invited to photograph a day in the life here in Humboldt County. And I'm Wendy Butler, and you are listening to Art Waves on KHSU. And Sydney, are you on board helping organize this latest project?
On a limited basis. Mostly what I've been trying to do is recruit people. And one of the things that, as Mark said, has changed radically in the time since the first one was done is that basically everybody is walking around with a camera in their pocket all the time now, because most people have phones that have cameras in them. So what I'm hoping is that we can be sure to really reach out to all areas of the county, to Southern Humboldt, to Hoopa, Willow Creek, the eastern part of the county, and to make sure that the entire county is covered. And looking back at the book, I wasn't particularly aware of it at the time, but looking back at the book, a much higher percentage of the photographers were male, and the subjects were male. And I would really like to see more representation of everyone in our community. And I mean, I think it's just the nature of photography as a field has evolved. And there are more women shooting now. And there are more women in the workforce. So I think it will be interesting to see the difference. And I'm really hoping for more reflection of everybody in the county.
Mm-hmm. And we have a cultural diversity in this county as well, and a racial diversity. And it would be marvelous to see that represented as well, to call out, you know, the individuals who live in different parts of the county to submit photos. Because as you wrote in your news release here that I'm looking at, you're not looking for professional photographers. You're looking for people, anyone, to submit photos.
I think Sydney was a perfect example of the amateur photographer we had 30 years ago. And she still is an amateur photographer in the sense that she doesn't sell her photographs. But she illustrates the type of person with a cell phone camera who's, we hope, is ready and willing to participate during all of those 24 hours on Friday, October 20th.
Why did you choose Friday, October 20th?
Well, 30 years ago was actually Friday, October 23rd.
Okay, you wanted to get close to it.
So we wanted to have an echo of a Friday with the Friday events, ranging from everything from possibly evening football sports to homecoming possibilities at the high school level, and also just the end of the week, the entertainment, because the 23rd is actually, I think, a Monday, and that wouldn't have had that same kind of echo of events and similar things. So it's not quite 30 years, but close enough in terms of why we chose Friday.
Now, you also write that you are going to have people on a panel reviewing the submissions. Do you know who those people are yet?
We haven't firmed that up yet, but one of the recent ideas is to actually show the collection of photos to some Humboldt State student classes, one, to give them a sense of the experience of what any editor has to do, which is to sort through photos and find those that have impact and meaning. And as Sydney said, there's stories behind these photos. And our goal with the captions that the photographers supply, as well as the imagery, is to have these HSU students experience, again, what an editor has to do, which is to winnow and sift. Our goal is to get from X number down to 25 or 30, and we'll have those 30 images printed and matted for a show at the F Street Photo Gallery during the month of December.
Yeah, which is on the second floor of Swanlands in Eureka.
Yeah, our last remaining photo store. Again, the changes from 30 years ago. Yeah, so on Arts Alive night, we'll have an opening, and my goal would be is to have as many of the photographers who are included in the show physically present, as well as everybody else who participated. In the end of the room, we'll have all of the photographs played back on a video screen, and that'll add to the evening as well. Both the gallery show and the playback will last throughout the whole month of December, and it looks like it may last now all of January as well.
But again, even though the show is not till December, the deadline for submission is going to be on October 30th, Monday, October 30th. And each photographer is allowed to submit from 1 to 5 photographs with captions, either on the email or in the
metadata of the image. If,
yes,
for example, Sydney hasn't picked up on Photoshop or the use of Bridge or Lightroom yet. So hypothetically, what she's going to do from her phone is literally email me from her phone 1 to 5 of the photos that she takes on that day. And in the email body, she's going to answer the questions of who, what, when, where, and why, as well as any other story behind the photo. That ultimately will, if one of her photos is chosen for the gallery show, that'll be included in a caption handout for people who come and see the show. Now, it's important, as you said, you need to submit not just the photo, but literally the who, what, when, where, and why, either in the email or in what's called the metadata of the digital image file.
But it's all via email?
Correct.
That these will be coming, and it's this one email that I'm looking at, right? Just yeah. One email, and you want to tell us that email?
Well, a word of warning, if there isn't any caption material, we can't use the photo
okay.
for the project, though I will send a reminder to anybody if there's a caption missing.
Mm-hmm.
But the email address is the letters H, C as in cat, T as in Tom, Y, followed by the word photo project at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's HCTY photo project at gmail.com on Monday.
Right. Monday, October 30th, meaning to midnight of Monday?
Until midnight, and I have a sneaking suspicion we may get that, but that's 10 days after the actual day of the project.
Sorry, you're going to know the photos will be taken on October 20th because in the digital world in which we live, dates automatically appear.
Well, most of us have set the time and date on our cameras and cell phones, right? Today, you've got your...
Yeah, I can go back and look on a particular day to see what yeah. pictures I've taken that day.
And on my digital SLR, I can set the time and date. And in the metadata, again, is a record of when the photo is actually taken. And I will be inspecting those along with the other judges in the end to make sure that it was taken sometime between a minute after midnight and until midnight on the Friday, the October 20th. Again, if somebody, an amateur or somebody who hasn't set their time and date correctly on their camera, I'm going to try to communicate with them to ask, to confirm that indeed the photo was taken on that day. You know, 30 years ago, with film and wet chemistry, and there wasn't that kind of record, you couldn't really test. And then people had to develop the film and then in wet chemistry labs and then make these very toxic chemicals, develop prints from the enlarger light that was flashed onto this piece of paper. I mean, I think about how crude that technology was, but also how beautiful the images were from not only the semi-professional or pro photographers, but the amateurs captured amazing stories as well as amazing images. And as the day in the life photographer, editor said, our goal is to find extraordinary photos of ordinary events.
Did you have an afterword that you wanted to read from the late Peter Palmquist?
Peter was another great friend of mine and the community here in terms of advocating that we need to collect not just the historical photos that he made an incredible career out of, but he also said you need to get out and document what's going on around you today, because it's the future that's going to look back at these photos and make sense of what happened, in this case, 30 years ago, though he was looking at photos that were, you know, 80, 120 years old. And Peter wrote in an afterword for our book, the photographers involved in the Day in the Life of Humboldt County project are clearly part and parcel of this long tradition of photographic recording and documentation. And like all great traditions, it's based on a sense of faith and of the unbroken links of our humanity. We have faith that our photographs will survive and faith that in the future, someone will still care that we lived and worked. That's what we want to do again 30 years after the first time we did it here in Kanawha County. One of the things I've discovered, both as a photographer for myself, but also as a teacher of photography, and is that a lot of beginners and even professionals stress out over, they want to capture the perfect photograph. And even with pre-planning and pre-visualizing a photograph, things don't always work out that way. And what I want to do is reassure people who are going to join us on Friday, October 20th, that they should just keep this mantra in mind, which is, let the photograph find you. Don't stress about it. Have fun. Enjoy the day. And as I said a minute ago, let the photograph find you. But also then collect the caption.
Mark Larson. Also here has been Sydney Fisher Larson. The 2017 People, Places, and Events of Humboldt County, a 24-hour photo documentary project. Photographers of all skill levels are invited to photograph the extraordinary in the ordinary on Friday, October 20th. Submit up to 5 photos with captions by Monday, October 30th. Again, the submission email is hctyphotoprojects@gmail.com. For more information, you can contact Mark Larson at marklarsonphoto@gmail.com. Or you can phone 845-6670. That's it for today's Art Waves. Join me next Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. for the next regular broadcast. You can also listen online at khsu.org. Download podcasts of the program at iTunes. Until next time, I'm Wendy Butler. Thanks for listening.
Bebop, the cool school, hard bop, 60s blue notes, the young lions. If it's straight ahead, you'll hear it on Gone Sides. Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 right here at 90.5 KHSU, your jazz station.
All right, so let me ask a question. Why does this keep working? What would I have thought? Would I have believed it?
So which one was it?
What were you thinking when you saw this?
The question that you just asked, Jed, is probably the wrong question.
How do you know?
Really? You literally?
You do.
And why are you there, exactly?
But what if you were good at it?
And how did he meet her?
What did they do?
Is there something about their brains?
Why?
Why?
Why would...
Why?
Why would...
Why?
Why?
Why? If you've got questions, the answer is...
Radio Lab.
Tuesday evenings at 7 here on KHSU.
This is Diverse Public Radio from Humboldt State University, KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Donors include Eureka's Black Fawn Gallery, presenting the unseen works of Fukiko Oguchi Marshall and Orr Marshall for the month of October. Orr has been showing his works widely for decades, and Fukiko is unveiling her large-scale abstract paintings for this show. Learn more at blackfawnart.com. And And donors to KHSU include Northtown Coffee, 16th and G in Arcata, proudly serving organic food, coffee and tea, and gluten-free baked goods. Indoor and outdoor seating, Wi-Fi, and room to study, write, or hang. Northtown Coffee, choosing organic ingredients for a healthy community.